Carson, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Then upon your profession of faith in Jesus and in obedience to His command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Scripture comes from Colossians 3rd chapter 15 through 17th verse. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you sing with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks.
Father, I adore you.
Having a gratitude attitude. I just want us to look at having this attitude, not an attitude problem, but an attitude solution, an attitude correction. Have you ever been accused of having an attitude? Or do you know of someone who does? Attitudes kind of become that that bad, kind of a bad term for kind of a bad attitude. We used to call it a BA in the Navy. BA wasn't a degree, it was a bad attitude. And there were a lot of people that seemed to have a bad attitude, and most do at some time. So how do we correct that? Well, we need an attitude correction, not an altitude correction. We can't do much about our altitude. We're pretty we're here. And there's not much we can do about the altitude. There's not much we can do about the latitude. But we can do something about our attitude. And that's what I want us to consider this morning. How to have a gratitude attitude. Do you have an attitude? An attitude ought to have a gratitude attitude. How do we have that? Well, by peace, first of all. By peace. And the verse there is verse 15, which says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful." Now, by peace. Thankful people are peaceful people. Much of the unrest in the world today is due to unthankfulness, I believe. For example, in James chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Are they not? Do they not come from here? From your lusts or your desires that war in your members." Now, that's where wars and fightings come from. I believe that the opposite of that is when we are thankful, there comes a peace in our lives. You think about it. You think about it if it's true in your own life. When you have unrest, when you have turmoil, when you have anger, when you have that attitude problem, it's probably because you have lost sight of God's blessings and have forgotten to be thankful. There is a peace which comes from a thankful attitude. The opposite of thankfulness leads to complaining, unrest, discord. And so if we want the blessings of peace, we must begin with a thankful attitude. And we must seek to be people of peace. There is in the Bible a peace with God and a peace of God. I'm sure those of you who are familiar with the Bible know the difference between the peace with God. That comes when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And our sins are done away with because Jesus died for them on the cross. And there comes this peace with God. God is no longer a frowning God because our sins are unforgiven, but because they are forgiven in Christ. That's the peace with God. But then there's a peace of God. And the Bible speaks of that too. It says that when we cast our care upon God, that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So by peace, we ought to have a gratitude attitude. Make our peace with God and let His peace come into our hearts, that peace that passes all understanding. There is a pole of peace. And that's found in these words here, "Let the peace of God." Actually, it's the peace of Christ. I don't know why the King James translators didn't translate it that way, but it's in the Greek, I think, in all of the Greek versions that I looked at. It's the peace of Christ that comes from being thankful. And the word there is to let it rule. And that is a word that's found in Philippians 3:14, where it says, where it talks about the prize. Do you remember that? That Paul said, I am running for that prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And what Paul was saying, I believe, is that he wanted to be the best that he could be. He wanted to be all that God had created him to be. And he ran the race of life with his eye on that prize. This is as if that prize of Christ, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," is what was pulling him heavenward. That's the pull that's spoken of here, I believe. Let the word of God, it says, the word of Christ, rather, rule in your hearts. That's that word that means a prize. There will be peace only when we yield to the pull of peace. And what a tragedy it is that people do not want this peace. They would rather be at enmity with God. And God says there is no peace to the wicked. And it talks about how in the last days men would be lovers of their own selves. Now, I know some of you women are saying, "I know man just like that." But no, it means everybody. It means that people will be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Now these are some pretty bad dudes, aren't they? Disobedient to parents, unholy. But in that list, there is the description, unthankful. I mean, why did God put that in there? Why did God put that in there among all these bad qualities? Covetous, well, I mean, we would agree with that. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unholy. But He put right in there, unthankful. And isn't that a characteristic of our time? I think if there was ever a people who were unthankful, it's American people today. We have so much. Compared to other places in the world, we're kind of sheltered. And God has blessed us beyond measure. And yet, we're unthankful. That's why God has written this in His Word, that we are to yield to the pull of peace. And then there's the Prince of Peace spoken of here. It says the peace of Christ, not the peace of God. You say, what's the difference? Christ is God. Well, Christ is God. But do you remember that when Jesus came into this world, that even before He came into this world, Isaiah announced that He would be the Prince of Peace? And when Jesus came into the world, the angels sang, peace on earth, God, goodwill toward men. So He is the Prince of Peace. He's called the Prince of Peace in the Bible. And He is the Prince of Peace. And remember that there cannot be peace apart from the rule of the Prince of Peace. If you wonder why you have so little peace in your life, let me ask you, have you yielded your life to the Prince of Peace? Have you received Him as your Savior? Have you invited Him into your life? We saw a good example here of a young lady that has made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Carson. And I'm sure she would agree that Christ has brought peace in her heart. And those of you who have also taken the step that she has taken, know that there can be no peace apart from the peace of Christ ruling in the human heart. Thanks be unto God, the Bible says, for His unspeakable gift, speaking of Jesus. So He is the Prince of Peace. And then the places of peace are spoken of here. Now we say that the world needs peace. And we probably think it's over there somewhere, that peace is really needed. And we think of other, maybe individuals that are going through a lot of turmoil in their lives, and we say, well, they're the ones who need peace. But doesn't it say here that we are to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. It says here, since members of one body, you are called to peace. Now, I think that's you and me. So when we find that we are not at peace, it's probably because we are not thankful. It seems to be a connection here, doesn't it? It says, and be thankful right after that. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. I think there's a connection there. That's the places, our hearts. Certainly one body there, speaking of the Church of Christ, there ought to be peace within the body of Christ. I think that's why we need this annual reminder to be thankful. And then once November's passed, we can just say, glad I don't have to do that anymore. Because it's hard. It's hard to be thankful. But just let God's Word remind you of your blessings. The peace of Christ. That means the peace that Christ brings. We are to let it rule in our hearts. And we were called to peace, it says here. So there is, by peace, that we have this attitude, this gratitude attitude. But I want us to look secondly at looking at the how of this gratitude attitude. And not only do we find this gratitude attitude or cultivated by peace, but by praise. There in the Scripture it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Now, I think that there is a spring of praise. And that spring, if you will, where that praise comes from, is, it seems to me here, that it is from the Word of Christ. And letting that Word of Christ dwell in us richly. I think sometimes we forget that and we neglect the Word of God. And soon we are grumbling, just like everybody else. Just like those people that we can't stand to be around. Because we have neglected the Word of God. Why? Because this is the book that tells us what God has done for us. This is the book that is the record of not only God's revelation, it is God's revelation to us, but it is also the testimony of lives like ours who have had struggles, who have had even difficulties that we can't even imagine, such as the writer of this epistle, Paul. Now you may know that this is one of the so-called prison epistles. Epistles are letters. Most would say they're long letters, like I used to write when I was in the Navy. I used to write some epistles to my mom because I wanted her to know everything that I was doing in the Navy. So, and I didn't have much else to do. I didn't have a girlfriend at that time. I think I wrote an epistle or two to Marlene before we were married, engaged. But you know what an epistle is. Well, Paul wrote these from prison. He wasn't writing in a Motel 8 or whatever they had in those days. It certainly wasn't a penthouse. It was a prison. And yet he could say what he said here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That leads to praise. A Christian neglecting the Word of God is a sad Christian. So take the time to read the Word of God. Get started on a Bible reading program. And you may plan to do that after the beginning of the year. You don't have to wait till the beginning of the year. Just start, if you have a Bible like I do that's divided up into the days of the year, just start on today and it'll take you through the Bible in a year. That's one plan. Some people just prefer to tough it out and start in Genesis and read through the book of Revelation. I know my brother Curtis and others do, as I have done. Listen to the Word of God on a CD, for example, or if you have one of those fancy little MP3 players. Let the Word of God be the springboard of praise in your life. And there's a song of praise. Incidentally, if you want to praise someone, spend time with them. Get to know them. Get to know Jesus, and you'll begin to praise Him. And you'll begin to praise Him in song. Some of you may be thinking, well, that may be good for God, but it's not going to be good for you, listening to me sing. But doesn't the Bible say, I think it says right here, to sing and make melody in your heart to God, with gratitude in your hearts to God? Now, I think that means, obviously, that we, you know, not just be praising the Lord in our heart and it never gets out to our lips. I think some of the most beautiful praise to God is praise that maybe we would find discordant, or we would think, well, that doesn't do anything for me. But to God, if it comes from a heart of love for Him, it's beautiful music. And that's what it's talking about here, the song of praise. Wasn't this beautiful, this round this morning? I didn't even know it was going to be like that. But it just sent chills up and down my spine. Just thinking about what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. And we're going to be singing by letter then. We're going to open our mouth and let it fly. There'll just be no inhibitions. None of the things that seem to hold us back here from offering our praise to the Lord. And there's a sacrament of praise as well. Here it says, does it not, that we are to sing with grace. Here it says, gratitude in your hearts to God. Now that's that very well-known Greek word. Some of you may have heard it before. The Greek word charis, or some of you would say charis. But that's the word that we get our word charity from. And it's actually the word found in 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about love. And it's a word that really can't be translated by one word. But I think it's like this word sacrament. A sacrament is a visible sign of an invisible grace. I think some have defined it that way. Well, here it says that we are to sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. And that comes from being thankful. You cannot praise and be unthankful at the same time. You think about it. Praise that person that maybe you are more inclined to find fault with. But find something to praise about them. And you'll find that, you know, there is something good about that person. There is a blessing that person brings to my life. That's the sacrament of praise. It does us good. It not only ministers to God, and it does minister to Him. God is blessed when we praise Him. But also it blesses us. Grace. I think that's summed up in that word grace that's found here. Number three, by practice. How do we have this gratitude attitude? Well, by peace, by praise, but by practice. And I believe that here is the answer to all the unrest and anxiety that discontented people feel. They're not doing. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Hezekiah 3:16. Don't look for it now, but it says, "He who talks by the yard and does by the inch shall be kicked by the foot." Well, I think a lot of people do by the yard, or talk by the yard and do by the inch. And there's a kind of a discontentment that usually settles into such a person's life because they don't have an outlet for what they say that they're going to do. That's why the Bible has so much to say about doing. It says be doers of the word, doesn't it? And not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. We show thanks as much as we say thanks. Now, I believe that both are important. And I don't think we should say when we don't mean it. Nor should we just say, well, I'll just let my attitude show, or my actions show, rather, that I am thankful. I think we need to do both. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, give thanks is certainly something that we do. Think about, first of all, the employment of that practice. Here it says, doesn't it, if you'll look there, that we are to, in whatever we do, whether in word or in deed,
We are to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now that just means that everything, doesn't it? I mean, whatever. I think that means everything. Now, you say, well, does that mean even if I do something bad, that I am to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus? You know, when I lose my temper, when I do something that I know I shouldn't do. No, I don't think it means that. I think it means that our lives are to be governed by doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you can't do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, then don't do it. I think that's a good rule to follow for our lives. So that is the employment. Incidentally, I believe every Christian ought to be employed. Now that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have that job that you'd like to have with the salary that you'd like to have and the benefits and everything. And it may even mean that you might not even have a job, so to speak, a paying job. But you are to be doing the Lord's work. That's the main reason why God has put us here. And if you'll be busy about the Master's business, you can be sure that God is going to take care of you. God is going to provide for His own. And then there is the enjoyment of that practice. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, it says, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. Now, have you known someone who just seemed to, no matter what they were told to do, or no matter how menial the task, they just seemed to have a joy about them? It probably just really bugged you. And you just wish that person would get their, you know, whatever they need. Well, maybe God has put that person there to remind you of being thankful. I've never known, I'm not a bird expert, but I've never known a bird in a cage that didn't sing. I'm sure that bird, if it had a brain to realize it, probably most birds would rather be somewhere else. But that's why we need to cultivate this attitude of gratitude. Because maybe we're not very much like birds. I don't think we are. The birds get up early in the morning and they sing their worship praises to God. I heard them this morning. May we do the same. And then there's the endorsement of that practice. Here it says we are to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks, we are to endorse Him, aren't we? In whatever we do, we should give the Lord Jesus the credit and the glory, because He's the reason for the season. Not just the Christmas season, but the Thanksgiving season. So let me ask you again, do you have an attitude problem? We like to blame our circumstances, don't we? We like to blame our heredity or our trials on our attitude. But remember, Paul, who wrote these words, was in prison. And Jesus, his Lord, was his example. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And he did that for you and me. He did that willingly. He did that because he wanted to. And not only that, but he did that with joy. One of my favorite, probably my favorite, without a doubt, my favorite movie on the life of Christ, and I've seen, I think, all of them, is this one, The Passion of the Christ. And one of the reasons why I like it so much is that it shows the joy that Jesus had in going to the cross. And if Jesus did that for you and me, should not we be thankful and have a gratitude attitude?
Oh.
Thank you.